So I was thinking this week way back to when my kids were little and when PBS was a regular part of our television viewing experience. There was this show that we're going to put up here in just a second called Word World. Okay, did I just hear groans and cheers? Now, here's the way it works. Generally, the groans are from the parents who get the theme song stuck in their head and can't get it out, and the cheers are from the kids. I came this close to playing the Word World theme song this morning, and two of my children gave it a hearty veto. No, Dad, you will not play that song. Number three just gave her veto as well. So do not play that song in church, though I know there's some of you who could sing it right now if asked to do so. Okay, so if your kids were watching PBS, you were likely listening or going along with them. You know the songs, you know the catchphrases. I must confess, the first time I saw this, I thought, that is a very clever idea. I mean, how cool is that? All the objects are the actual words, right? Look, pig, P-I-G, bear, B-E-A-R. The sun is a little S-U-N. The house is H-O-U-S-C. Really? I mean, that's just the most clever kids show idea. A-N-T is eating a W-A-T-E-R, yeah, watermelon. And here's what you gotta love, is that the people who make these shows, they know the parents will be watching, so they throw in a little nod to Saturday Night Live, and they put a land shark on there. For those of you who remember land shark, yes. There it is, a shark, S-H-A-R-K. So it's the tagline that gets my attention. I won't leave this up there all morning because you will not hear a word I say, because what's not cool about S-T-E-A-M coming out of a T-R-A-I-N, right? But look at the tagline. It's way up there in tiny print. Word World, where words come alive. Ta-da! Word World, where words take on visible shapes, which must make you stop and ask this question. Is that a good thing? Would you like it if that happened to you? How would you like it if everything you said this past week came to life and took on visible shapes? Now, I won't get into what would happen if your thoughts came into visible shape. Let's just go with words. Thoughts are too frightening. But what if your words came to life before your eyes? Would it be amazing? Would it be frightening? Would people die? Let's be honest. Yeah. Would people be shocked? Would people laugh? What shapes would your home, your school, your workplace be filled with if your words became visible? If your show words were shown, what kind of creatures would be running around? Would people be screaming or laughing hysterically? Would they be offended? Would they be encouraged? And the good news this morning is this actually happened. What I'm describing happened once. It actually happened in a certain time, in a certain place. And when it happened, it was the most glorious event to ever occur on planet Earth. A word took on a body, walked around, ate, drank, slept, taught, performed miracles. And when one of the men who spent a lot of time with the Word, who saw his life, when he wanted to sum up his life, the best word he could think of was the word glory. Glory. The glory of a word with a body that took on a body. And this word was glorious because he was God. He was glorious because he was full to overflowing with the two things this world needs worse than anything, grace and truth. And that continues to be true today. Still glorious, still overflowing. A few weeks ago, we started on a journey together through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has an 18-verse prologue. If you read a novel and there's a prologue, it's a page or two, maybe in italics, where you get a glimpse of the themes or the main characters. If a prologue is in a movie, maybe there's no dialogue, there's just music playing and you see some characters, you see a little theme of some sort introduced. That's the purpose of the prologue to John's Gospel. We're going to finish it this morning, just the prologue. And so there'll be themes we will introduce that we will talk a lot more about later. But we were first introduced to this one called the Word back in week one of this a couple of weeks ago. The one who already was when the beginning happened. He was wasing already when the beginning happened. He doesn't begin with the beginning. He doesn't begin after the beginning. He was around before the beginning. And he was with God and he was God, which you can do if you exist eternally as three people in one essence that we call the Trinity. And the two important words that John uses here to introduce the Word to us are the words light and life. Because what we saw last week and what we see this week is his Christmas story was light arrived. Light came into the world. He was preceded by a witness and he caused confrontational things to happen. He caused responses to happen because that's what light tends to be like. Some rejected, some received and got a new life. And this morning, the prologue that we finish in verses 14 through 18 takes an amazing, amazing turn in verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Word who was God, the Word who is God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Became flesh. Now, important here, it does not say the Word found some flesh to inhabit. The Word found the best available candidate and jumped in to that guy. We don't talk about our kids like this, right? Little Nathan was born. They did not say, look, Nathan has become flesh. Why? Because Nathan did not exist before he was flesh. He came into being, right? The Word became flesh because the Word existed before he was flesh. So, we have fully God, fully with God, becoming fully human, not half God, half man, not waking up in the morning and deciding, who am I going to be today, God or man? This feels like a God kind of day. Not left half God, left half man, completely God, completely man, right? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, made himself nothing, taking on human likeness, the form of a servant, emptied himself, becoming a man. The Word became flesh, and then he did something. He dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. Or maybe you have a paraphrase that says, pitched his tent. Tabernacled among us is what the Word might mean. And we're instantly taken back to the responsive reading that we read together at the beginning. We're taken back to a traveling worship center with God's people in the desert and then stopping and then going to King David and the glory that's there. The Word, out of eternity into time, tabernacles among us. Then you travel forward and go to David's son. And Solomon dedicates the temple he builds. And it says that on dedication day, the glory of the Lord came. And the glory of the Lord so filled the temple that the priest had to leave. It was that bright, that majestic, that incredible. It's like, we've got to get out of here or we're going to die. Right? It's that glorious. The glory filling the temple. So John here is showing us a little glimpse of something that the Word, who is God, takes on flesh and he's now, temples don't go anywhere. Once they're built, they're built. But a tabernacle, that can move around. And so now we have the glory of God walking around in skin, a new place, if you will, the Word in the flesh, which doesn't mean that that Jesus walked around glowing all the time. Hey guys, it's crowded in the temple. I wonder where Jesus is. Oh, he's right over there. I see the glow because he's glorious. No, he wasn't the shiny one. You know, that little thing in the old paintings, like your halo around him all the time. Now, he's the glory described here, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is another theme that's going to be introduced. We're going to see this later. Claiming to be the Son of God, where Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, will get you killed. And we're going to see this little word, only begotten. We're going to see it again in just a minute. And there's this interesting little parenthetical statement here. John bore witness about him. So we saw John last week, John the Baptist, who is the forerunner going before the king saying, hey, everybody, get ready. The king's coming. The light's coming into the world. And this is the one where he cried out and said, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're just going before some guy. Someone is coming after me who's greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Now, wait a minute. Weren't the moms pregnant at the same time? Don't we know the whole story of Mary going to see Elizabeth and John the Baptist jumping because he realizes, yeah, what is that? And John says, no, no, no. He goes further back than that. So, we beheld his glory. What is this glory? It's the only Son from the Father. But this Word embodied is glorious, we see, because he's full of grace and truth. You go on down. Grace upon grace. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What was glorious about Jesus? Yes, the signs. Yes, the teaching. Yes, all the miracles. All that. But the big deal is that he was full of grace and truth. Do you know how hard it is to be full of grace and truth? Do you ever have grace moments in your life where it's just a grace moment, but it's not a truth moment? Better yet, you ever have truth moments in your life that aren't grace moments? Yes, okay. That's the one we all know about, right? Well, I was just telling the truth. Yes, but you weren't very gracious in the way you did it, right? Here's a man who was filled with both. And he can come down hard when he needs to. We'll see that. But just overflowing, full of grace and truth. We know what it's like to have one or the other. Grace and truth, full in one man. So then when he gives out of fullness. Jesus doesn't like scrape the bottom of the grace and truth barrel like, okay, you know what? I've been putting up with a few for a few years now. I'm reaching the bottom of the grace barrel with this one. I got plenty of truth for you, running out of grace. That's not the Word who became flesh. From his fullness, he's overflowing. He can't contain himself. Ephesians 1:8 says he lavishes it on us. We are recipients of the riches of his grace. Grace after grace, or maybe your Bible translation says blessing upon blessing, blessing after blessing. So, if you go back again to verse 1, there was this one who existed before there was a beginning, so he is self-existing. He relies on no one else for his existence. Comes into the world and he relies on no one else for grace and truth. He just overflows on his own. This complete one. And he pours it out. The space is full. He pours it out. We're going to find later on that this word fullness, it's used when a house is filled with the fragrance of a perfume. Or it's used when a net is so full of fish that it nearly breaks. That kind of full. Jesus can't contain himself. And he says, the law was given through Moses. Notice the difference between the words here. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God gives the gift of the law. He redeems His people, rescues His people out of slavery, and He says, I am the Lord who rescued you. I'm the Lord who brought you out of slavery. Here's what I want your life as a people to look like. Here's what obedience to me is going to look like. Here's these commands. Here's the law. So God gives a gift to His people called the law. What life will look like as His people. Puts it on tablets. Moses brings it to the people. The new covenant that Jesus is going to describe for us, God said it ahead of time, I'm going to write my law on your hearts. It's going to be internal to you, not external to you. Jesus is going to say, the blood of a new covenant, once and for all, right? So the law is given through Moses, but grace and truth showed up in a person. Not that grace and truth never existed before, but we have here an entirely different way of relating to God. Trust me. You want to relate to God based on grace and truth, not on law. Right? Which takes us to the last part. No one has ever seen God, the only God who's at the Father's side. He has made Him known. So John, again, kind of looking back from his perspective where he is now, speaking of the risen, crucified, risen, ascended Son of God. No one has seen God. Wait a minute now, Isaiah, my eyes have seen the King. Wait a minute now. 1 Timothy 1:17, immortal, invisible, the only God. King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. You get these times in Scripture where God just pulls back the curtain enough for people to be overwhelmed and blown away. But here we have the complete nature of God walking around Israel. The only begotten of the Father. So John comes full circle. The music of the prologue fades. He comes back to the one who, what? Was God? Who was with God? Now we have him returning back to the Father's side. But the big line there is, He has made Him known. Jesus is going to say in John 17, one of my favorite verses, I have given them eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. You want to know God, Jesus says, I will make Him known to you. You don't bypass me, you don't go, well, I'll do it on my own. You don't say, well, I'll figure out a better way. Jesus says, no, just come to me. Come to me. I will reveal Him to you. A good summary of the ministry of Jesus, to make the Father known. You want to see what God is like? Behold Jesus. It's the word there. We beheld His glory. Not a glimpse. We beheld glory. We behold God in the person of Jesus Christ. I made you known, Jesus said. The unique one, the only begotten one. So, comes down to us. Here we are. Why does Creekside Bible Church exist? To know and spread the grace and truth of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. We substitute lots of words there for know and spread because it's just so full. To experience and share. To get it and give it away. The great preacher of yesteryear, Charles Spurgeon, would ask the question of his people, how do you glorify a fountain? That sounds like a dumb question, doesn't it? How do you glorify a spring? How do you glorify a fountain? You do not glorify it by going a few feet over and digging your own. You glorify it by taking a drink of it and going, oh, that's good water. I want some more of that. You don't try to dig your own fountain. You drink from it. Right? So what are we saying? Our purpose as a church is to get as much grace and truth from Jesus Christ as we possibly can because He's full. He's not tapped out. He's not got like 5 more years left and He's go, okay, sorry, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. There's some missionaries who need some grace and truth. Hang on, I'll be back. I'm going to Africa. It's none of that. It's like, I am full. I am overflowing. I can't contain myself. So I'm just going to give as much of this to you as I can. But I don't want you to be a cul-de-sac of grace and truth. I don't want it all just like stored up. I want that to then come out of you. That's going to be John chapter 7. This is what the youth group, Creekside Cove, is all about, right? Rivers of living water, come to me and drink, and rivers of living water will flow from your inmost being. We drink grace and truth. We flow with grace and truth. All for the glory of God. And I realize it's like a rule of some sort among churches that when you describe what you're like, it's like you've got to tack for the glory of God on there because it's a Christian thing to say. It's what Christians say. They say, well, glory to God. And they just tack it on, especially if you're in the South. It's kind of like bless you, only a step up, right? It's for the glory of God, but it's no, that's not what it is. Jesus said your light will shine in such a way that people will see you and glorify God for what he's doing, right? So this isn't about, whoa, look at Creekside Bible Church getting all that grace and truth. Not in the least. It's, this grace and truth is good. Let me show you where to get it because we didn't produce this. This is like public domain stuff. Yeah. This is the tree and its fruit that you see when you walk in and you see on your bulletin. This is roots going deep into Jesus, getting lots of grace and truth from Jesus, coming out and bearing grace and truth fruit. So it's just looking at somebody, loving them in the name of Jesus, showing them grace, giving it to others. We've made it even more simple. We talk about this. I'm going to clean off the board in the morning so that you will fill it up with more steps. Grace can't just be a doctrine we have right. Grace has to be a way we live and how we serve and love other people. So we always ask the question, who needs grace this week? And this is an interesting thing that I've found as I've been reading the steps of faith you all have been taking. It's like, well, there's this person and I've been praying for them, I've been thinking about them, and then I had this opportunity. And then the other flip side of it is just out of nowhere, there was opportunity to serve someone in the name of Jesus. Here, I want to show you the love of God in a very practical way. Something crazy happened at Starbucks this week. Someone dropped a big wad of cash. And it, like the bill on the outside was like a $100 bill, and there was some more. It wasn't mine, but you know, somebody picked it up and he brought it up to the counter and said, "I just found this cash." Obviously, I wanted to go back to his owner, and it was like, if the owner doesn't show up, find a single mom to give it to and tell her Jesus loves her. I was like, that's pretty cool, right? Very practical, very very practical. It's grace. It's serving. It's loving. Right, and this will just pop up in the craziest places. I can tell you all kinds of stories when it was just like, show that person grace. It's like, really? And the times when like you do it and you're just like, okay, this is going to be a big moment. I can remember a time in Virginia Beach, there was a laundromat. It was the church at one end of the shopping center, a sports bar right next door, and a laundromat at the end. Very interesting combination there. And I had taken some comforters and was going to wash them at the laundromat kind of while I was working. And there was a man came in, put his laundry in, came back a little bit, took the laundry out and threw it in the dryer and just left. And I was sitting in there and I was thinking, I saw his dryer stop. And I walked over and peeked and none of it was dry yet. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fill this up with quarters. And when he comes back, it'll be an opportunity to share the gospel with him, right? Oh, I did that for free, just like grace is free, right? Great gospel moment. God loves you for free. Gospel's free. Salvation's free. All paid for already by somebody else. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Put the quarters in the machine. Dryer stops up. Starts up and is rolling. And my stuff's done. I fold it and I'm working real slow. Because I'm thinking this is going to be awesome. And dude never shows up. Well, darn. So much for that, right? So you can't always predict how the outcome is going to be. We don't do that. That's what faith is. Remember, we said this several times. You pick up your foot, and you don't know where it's going to come down. You let God take care of the coming down. You speak the truth, and you let God work out however he wants. Jesus comes full of grace and truth. He spreads it. He overflows with it. And still today, He's still filled with grace and truth. We still get that from Him. We still drink. We still flow. So, I want you to be praying. Maybe this is something you need to get back into, a mode of thinking, okay, I need to get back to this. Many of you already have the name in mind of the person you need to serve. But many of you are just going to say, okay, I don't have anybody in mind, but this week I want my eyes to be open. Here's the other thing. Many of you have someone in mind who needs to hear a particular truth. Maybe it's a difficult conversation that you've been avoiding. We're going to pray for that as well. Just maybe any opportunity to weave in the gospel to a conversation. Listen, this isn't, okay, Jesus is going to stay here, and when you come back next week, you can check in with Him and tell Him how you did. Right? I had a professor in Bible college who used to say, sometimes telling how I'm doing can be a very selfish thing. Right? It's like, let me tell you what Jesus did. No, He's going with us. So when you put your note up on the little board the next few weeks and write out on the note card, this is the grace step I took. That's Jesus going with you. So let's pray for that right now. And let's praise Him and let's just pray for the steps we'll take. Lord, You put us on this planet to follow Jesus. And we don't follow Him 10 steps behind. We follow Him, oddly enough, while we are in Him and while He is in us. This is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the law. This is a matter of Christ giving us desires and giving us loves and giving us a heart and that compels us to show grace to people. So, Lord, we come to You with no list, but just the expectation that if Christ, that there's going to come times this week that I don't want to, but Jesus wants to. But because I'm in Christ and He's in me, You'll help me want to. And there's going to be times this week when I can't, but Jesus can. And because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, You'll give me what I need to do what You want me to do. And that's going to happen time and time again. Just little things that could possibly seem insignificant. But because they're done in the name of the most significant person in the universe, Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, they're significant. And Lord, I want to thank You, God, for this group of people that I get to worship with week after week. And I want to thank You for a very clear description of what success looks like as a church. As human beings, it is the default setting in our lives that we will compare ourselves to others. And there goes joy down the drain. There goes motivation to obey Jesus down the drain because we just spent time comparing ourselves to what we think others are thinking or others are doing or what we see in their lives. But God, what a great definition of success. That we walked by faith and we sought to spread something that You have already given us. And Lord, whatever the outcome of that is, whatever the consequence of obeying You is, we will have been successful. That's it. So help us to do this well. Because You did this well, Jesus, and You're still doing this well. Thank You, God, for the testimonies we will have to share to encourage and challenge one another in the coming weeks and months. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website, at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.